It's good to be in God's house. I have at least one more message on the series that I've tried to been bringing to you for the last several weeks. Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, the life I now live. And probably could say amen and go home now after that song, because that expresses in a few words what I've tried to say in a month. And that is, we don't have the power on our own to make it. No matter how tough we think we are, no matter how smart we think that we are, no matter how that we think we can make our way through, without the faith of Jesus Christ alive within us, we're nothing. Absolutely nothing. Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. That's the whole point of this series, is that we would live unto God, forgetting ourselves, forgetting anything else, forgetting what we think we can do. Live unto God. How do we do that? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning. So we think for just a little while on this subject of the faith of the Son of God and how that it affects us on a daily basis. Last Sunday morning, I concluded with instances where that we saw the faith of Jesus Christ. And again, just so that our mind is going in the right direction here, he says, he does not say, the life that I now live, I live by the faith in Christ, though we have faith in Christ, but there's a source of that faith in Christ. And the source of our faith in Christ is the faith of Christ. I want us to understand that there is that within us that is not of ourselves. And to me, that's what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is talking about. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's not your faith. It's not my faith. It's the faith of Christ. I hear myself many times say, I wish I had the faith of Abraham. But you know what? I do have the faith of Abraham. And you have the faith of Abraham. But even more than that, you have the faith of Jesus Christ that lives in you. It's not of you. It's not of me. It's of Christ. And I've tried to say all the way through this that the personal pronoun, maybe I haven't stressed it enough, but the personal pronoun, usually when Paul uses the personal pronoun of I, he's showing his insignificance and the significance of Christ. But now he uses the personal pronoun I many, many times in these three verses of Scripture. I am dead to the law. I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. All the I's that he's talking about there, he's pointing all glory, all praise unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not bragging on himself. He's not boasting on himself. There's not a one of us that have the reason or really the ability to say, my faith is stronger than somebody else's. The only faith that is strong to get us through any struggle that we have is the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what the basis of our daily walk is that Christ lives in me. And if I don't have Christ in me, I have no hope of glory in heaven or on earth either. All the hope that I have is because of Christ living in me. Now, what does that mean to me? What effect should that have on me? If you will, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. In your pew Bibles, that's page 205 in the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 1. This faith of Christ, is it just an abstract thing that we talk about? Is it just something that God has said it's there? And you might have it, you might not have it. Or is it something that God has declared, that God has placed within us, that God has put within us for a reason? And that reason is that we might live an abundant life in Jesus Christ. When I say an abundant life, I'm talking about a life that is a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of strength, a life of gladness, a life of happiness, a life in which that, yes, storms come, but even in the middle of the storm, there is an inner peace within us that says, no matter what's going on outside, or no matter even what's going on in my brain, Christ is in my heart. And therefore, I have a peace. It's not I want to have a peace. I have a peace. I'm to embrace that peace. I'm to take hold of that peace. I am to live in that peace that is in Jesus Christ. I think I jumped ahead of where I was going a while ago when I said last week I finished up with some of the thoughts that Jesus had when he expressed his faith. One was in the darkest hour of his life, after 3 hours, when he was completely separated from fellowship with his Father, when all the sin of the world was placed upon him, yet in that darkest hour he cried out, "My God, my God." In other words, I'm not going to turn away from my God. And I believe I asked the question, if I didn't hear, I did when I was in Alabama this last couple of days. How many people do we know in our life that when struggle comes, the first thing that they do is they turn and they try to run away from God. And they try to run away from the church. And they try to get off out there and hide themselves in the world. What's in the world? Struggles and problems and troubles and trials. This is, you want to talk about a sanctuary city? The church is the sanctuary city. The church is the place that we can come to escape the struggles and the turmoils of the world. You can't escape them by running to the world. We escape them by running to Christ. And then finding ourselves in Christ. My God, my God. Yes, he had a question that followed that. But he did not deny the fact that God was his God. He didn't try to run from him. He was clinging to him. And then at the end, just before that he gave up the ghost, Jesus said, "Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit." What better hands do we have that we could commend ourselves to, that we could know that we're in the hands of the Almighty God? I already know that you don't think this way, but if you want to put yourselves in the hands of the world, be ready for the storms that are going to come with it. If you want to trust the things of the world, go ahead. But I can tell you right now, you'll come running back to God. And you'll come back running to God in such a way as you never saw Him before. And the need that you have that you've never saw before. There is no hope outside of Christ. There's no hope outside of God. There's no hope in the world. There's no hope in Washington, D.C. Our hope comes from the throne of God. In Thee do I put my trust. Notice what Peter says. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice the order there. I'm afraid that if Steve was writing this on Steve's own words, he would say, "I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ." that we, if you watch much religious television, you'll see people from time to time calling themselves an apostle. Can I tell you, they're not. They're not an apostle. But he put himself as a servant first. That was his heart before God. I am a servant of Jesus Christ and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith. What precious faith is it that we have alike? I've been reading it for the last four Sundays. We have the faith of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have His Word, and His Word is described as the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. But who does His Word testify of? Jesus says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, Jesus Christ." The Word. We do ourselves a great injustice, and you've heard me say it as long as God gives me breath and as long as God puts me in this pulpit. We do ourselves a great injustice if we forsake the Word of God. And I'm not talking about 30 or 40 minutes on Sunday morning, 30 or 40 minutes on Sunday night, maybe 45 minutes on Wednesday night. I'm not talking about just that. I mean on a daily basis. We should be in the Word of God, searching the Scriptures, seeing Christ, and then as we're going to see today, the Lord willing, seeing how that applies and works in my life. It's not just a cold concept that is put down on paper as we read the Bible. It's the living Word of God. And I understand that the living Word of God is Jesus Christ, but I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit takes hold of the written Word and it comes alive in your heart, it is alive. And it renews us and it refreshes us. And it brings us to a place where that we can understand a little bit more clearly the love that God has for an unworthy sinner like myself, and yet God loves me with an unconditional love. You can read all the books that's out in the world, and you won't find that as you do in the Word of God. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How do we grow in grace? And that's what he concludes 2 Peter with. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do we grow in grace? How do we grow in knowledge? I'm going to hold it up again. The Word of God. And we do ourselves a great injustice. Back in the 1800s, there was a phrase that was coined. And back in the 80s, it became really popular again. You could go to a lot of stores, especially Christian bookstores, and you would find these rubber wristbands that you put on your wrists. And it would say, WWJD. What would Jesus do? It's a good thought. Do you know how you found out what would Jesus do? The Word of God. You don't have to wonder what Jesus would do. You know what He did simply by searching the Scriptures. If you get tired of me saying that, then plug your ears up, because I'm going to be saying it a lot. Search the Scriptures. Don't let somebody else do it for you. Search the Scriptures for yourself. Oh, but that's what God gives us preachers for. And I understand that God has called men to preach His Word, to give an understanding of the Word. But if you don't have a knowledge of the Word, how can you have an understanding of it? You can't understand anything that you don't know something about already. Understanding comes after knowledge. I think one of the messages on Tuesday brought out knowledge and wisdom, knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And the difference between having knowledge and having understanding and having wisdom. And there is a great difference in that. Knowledge tells us that there's a great power that's in electricity. Understanding tells us that I don't want to grab hold of bare wires that are alive with electricity. Wisdom says, "Don't, I'm not going to do it." Wisdom is the application of understanding, which is the application of knowledge. We must search the Scriptures. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us just enough to get us by in life. Thank you. I saw heads come up on that one, and I'm glad you did. Does He give us just enough to get by? He gives us all things that pertain unto life. All things. All things. Now, I'm the world's worst about using an owner's manual. I like to look at the pictures and then try to figure it out. This is not a roadmap to heaven, but it sure is a good map to get you through this life. Sometimes I hear, and I guess I was guilty of it also, we were, when the children are small, I wish they came with an owner's manual. Guess what? Children do come with an owner's manual. I'm holding it up again. It's the Word of God. Teaches us everything, all things that pertain unto life. Not just parts of life, not just this or that or the other, but all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In other words, not just barely scraping by, but giving us all things that we need to live a godly life in Christ Jesus as we go through this world. And I'm going to tell you that's the only way that you'll ever find fulfillment and contentment in life is living by the faith of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You won't get it any other way. You might have something that will give you a little satisfaction for 30 minutes, but after that, then you're scratching your head and saying, what do I do now? It's the Word of God that gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. Paul put it, through Him who loved me and gave Himself for me, then called me unto all glory and virtue. Whereby, and here's where I was getting at, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these exceeding great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The life that I now live, Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. If we're trying to get by on our own, if we're trying to do it our way, and I know Frank Sinatra made a lot of money off singing, I Did It My Way. Do you know what the end result of Frank Sinatra was? The end result of every one of us. When we do it God's way, it is a way that you don't have any regrets. When you do it what Christ would have us to do, when He gives us the ability, and He has given us the ability to be partakers of the divine nature, I don't have to say, well, I just couldn't help myself. And I've said that more times than I want to admit. I just couldn't help myself. Yes, I could. If I had done what the Word of God teaches me to do, and that is to get in the Word and to learn of Jesus Christ, to grow in grace, to grow in knowledge, to grow in understanding, to grow in wisdom. I'll give you a preview of where I'm going with this, Lord willing, next Sunday, and that is when you spend time in the Word and you read the Word of God, even though you might say, "But you know, I don't understand," and that's number one excuse right there. That's number one excuse why people use to say, "I don't read the Bible. I just don't understand it." And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, it don't make sense to me. Because if you don't ever read it, you never will understand it. But if you start reading it, even though at the beginning you might say, "I don't understand," at some point the Holy Spirit is going to take something that you read and it's going to fit. And you're going to say, "Oh, that's what it means." And then you're going to remember something that you read somewhere else. And you said, "Yes, it fits perfectly. Every part of the Word of God fits together. There's no part that's like putting a square peg in a round hole. There's no part of the Word of God that you have to force to fit. It fits because it's the Word of God. And God has given to us these exceeding great and precious promises." We sang the song a little while ago, "Standing on the Promises of God." Do you believe that? You sang it. If you didn't sing it, you probably read the words. If you didn't read the words, you heard somebody else singing it. Do you believe it? Do you believe that standing on the promises of God makes all the difference in the world? If so, how many days do you have to look back, or how many times do you have to look back in your life and say, "If I had just done what I know God would have had me to do, it would have turned out differently. Or maybe it would have had the same results, but I would have peace about it because I'm reminded that God's in control." God has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises that we can be divine partakers of the divine nature. Let me get that right. God's given us promises. My thought this morning and what I want us to take away with us today is this: do I believe them? And if so, do I live them? It's one thing to say I believe, it's quite another thing to live it. And I've been guilty of it. But from the faith of Christ through the Word of God, His faith intertwined with that faith that is given to us, that measure of faith that is given to us at regeneration, at the new birth, and it begins to strengthen us and to confirm within us that what God's Word is saying is the way it is. And yes, I have to say to you, there's a lot of it, a lot of things that happen in this world that I have to say, I don't understand. But can I be blunt and say, I don't have to understand it. All I have to understand is that my Lord is on His throne. And He's in control. And though I don't understand why Mexico Beach, Florida was completely wiped off the map of the earth, I don't understand that. I'm not going to stand here and try to tell you. I don't understand it. But I know my Lord's in control. I'm not going to stand here and say that we're better people here because we didn't get the storm than they are down there because they got it. I wouldn't dare say that. I don't understand it. And I'm not asking the Lord to send a storm here to prove it. But I'm telling you, the only way I can have any peace about anything that happens in this world is to know that Jesus Christ is my Lord, that Jesus Christ died for me, and because Christ died for me and rose from the dead, He now lives in me, and because He lives in me, I can endure. I don't have to like it. I don't have to love it. I don't even have to walk around with a smile on my face all the time. Because there's some things in life that I can't smile about. But I can endure. And do you know that's what the faith of Christ is? I'm going away from where I intended to go, but that's okay. Hebrews chapter 12. I encourage you to turn and read this with me. If you don't have your Bible with you, listen really, really close to what the faith of Christ did for Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, starting with verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses..." You can go back to chapter 11 and you read all the cloud of witnesses that He lists. I'm going to tell you, you can look around in the world today and you can see there's still clouds of witnesses all around us, of people that have gone through hard times and yet they stay close to the Lord. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Whatever it is that's holding us back, whatever it is that's slowing us down, whatever it is that's causing us to stumble, whatever it is that's causing us to turn away, He says, lay it down. I've been guilty of praying, Lord, would you please just take this away from me? And you know what the answer to that prayer is? No, I won't. Paul prayed it 3 times. Remove this thorn in the flesh. And 3 times the Lord said, no, I won't. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you grace to get through it. More than once I've asked, Lord, please take this away from me. And I read this now and I'm convicted in my heart because He says, lay it down. Don't wait for me to take it from you. Glorify the Lord by laying it down and turning and walking away from it. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And every one of us have a sin that easily besets us. If you tell me you don't, no offense, but I won't believe you. Every one of us have a sin, something that we have a weakness to, that we have a prone to do. Whether it's anger, whether it's bitterness, whether it's being cynical. What were those other character defects we talked about in our class today? All of those things that beset us. Doubt. He says, lay it down. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do we run that race? Looking unto Jesus. If you look around, you'll be so confused that you don't know which way is up. If you look around, you'll start going in that direction. I was driving back yesterday from Alabama, L.A., lower Alabama. I was driving back and I was coming through that place that looked so devastated. And I found myself looking to the left across the field because I saw an entire section of what's that thing where you water? Irrigation, thank you. The whole irrigation system was laying on its side. It blew the whole thing over. And I'm looking over there, and you know where I found myself? Thank the Lord there was no car coming. Because I found myself going in that direction. Wherever you look, that's where you're going to go. It's that way every time. I'm not just talking about driving either. I'm talking about in life. Wherever we set our eyes, that's where we're going to go. That's why it says you run it with patience, but you keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look away. Though the world is shouting and flashing lights and saying, look here, look here, look there, and the storm and the wind's blowing over there, and you're saying, wow, look what's happening over there, you're going to find yourself over there. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, it was what He was pressing toward. How do I say this? There is no joy in the cross. Not when you fully understand it. There is no joy in the cross. In the cross, there's suffering. In the cross, there's pain. In the cross, there's sacrifice. And let's face it, none of us like any of those things, do we? But Jesus had something on the other side that He was looking at. He had His eyes set on something on the other side that He was looking at. And for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. You see, we don't have to understand everything, but there is an endurance race that we've all been called to run. Endure. Do you use the word endure? If you sit down to a wonderful meal, everything is so delicious, so tasty, and you just makes your mouth water even when you're full, thinking, I wish I... Did you endure that meal? You didn't endure it, did you? You enjoyed it. Jesus endured. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The face of Christ was, I'm not going to look at this storm right now. I'm looking at what is set before me. And for every one of us, God has set before us a joy and a contentment and a peace and righteousness that is ours through Jesus Christ. Look unto Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. I have so many promises I was going to share with you today. I'm just going to go quickly over a few of them. One is, I can jot them down because I'm going to go really fast. Isaiah 43:1-2. The first words that God says to us is, fear not. Fear not. Have you ever been afraid of anything? Maybe I should say, have you ever not been afraid of anything? Have you never been afraid of anything? Again, I may not believe you. If you tell me you've never been afraid of anything, I probably won't believe you. But God says, fear not. And there's a reason He says, fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've bought you. And then He says very plainly, thou art mine. You're mine, God says. And I'm going to tell you something. When Christ says you're mine, He's saying, I'll stand and defend you to the very end. Have you ever had a friend that you felt like would stand with you no matter what was going on? You do have one. His name is Jesus. You're mine. When He says you're mine, He said nobody else can have you. Satan tries, but he cannot have you. You're mine. I've redeemed you. And then He says, I've called you by thy name. He knows who you are. He knows everything about you. But then here's the promise. That's the security. But here's the promise that goes along with it. When you pass through the waters, He says, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames won't even kindle upon you. You remember the three Hebrew children when they came out of the fiery furnace? Their clothes, the ropes that held them and bound them, they were burned off. Their clothes were not burned. They were not singed. The hair was not singed. They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Why? Christ was with them in the fire. No matter what fiery trial you're going through, you're not going through it alone. For He has said, I will never leave you. I'll never turn my back on you. And when we can understand that, when we stand on that promise, we say, I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. For He has said. When He has said overtakes what the world says, you can say, I'm standing on the promises. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That doesn't mean that I can go out here and do something that's ungodly and say, well, I'm doing it through Jesus. No, no, no. If I'm going back to my sixth grade sentence, dividing up, I can never think, what's the word? Thank you. I'm just making sure y'all are listening this morning. When I go back to sixth grade diagramming sentences, what that verse is saying, I can do all things which strengtheneth me through Christ. Study that verse out and see if that's not what He's saying. He's not saying I can do anything I want to, just that I'm doing it in Jesus' name. No, no, no. All things which strengtheneth me. What are all things that strengtheneth me? When I am a partaker of the divine nature of my Heavenly Father. I can do that. And you read on in 2 Peter, I didn't go, but you can read on, and there's about 7 or 8 things that are given there that help us in our divine nature. How can I do that? Well, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Do I believe that this morning? Do I believe that God's going to provide everything that I need, including His protective hedge about me? Quite honestly, there have been times in my life when I said, I can't do that, but you know what I was really saying? I don't want to do that. I've had to be very blunt with myself throughout this whole series. When I say I can't do something that God has called me to do, I'm saying I don't want to do that. Because my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory, and I can do all things which strengthen me through Christ. So am I doing it because I can't or because I won't? Something to think about. God says, when I give you my plans, when I give you something I'm directing you, in Jeremiah 29:11, He says, because I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. God has already planned out where He is taking you in life, and everything that He's using in life to lead you, to guide you, to direct you, is bringing you to that expected end. Not your expected end, but His. My expected end is wrong 99.99999% of the time. But my God is never wrong in leading me to the place where He has in store for me. Do I believe that? Am I standing on that promise that God loves me enough that everywhere He leads me is for my good and for His glory? I'm trying to remember which song it is now that we sing sometimes, that this verse, Isaiah 41:10, is actually a verse in that song. And you'll hear it. You'll know it when I start reading these words. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee. I'll help thee. I'll cause thee to stand. Upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Isaiah 41:10, that's a promise from God. Do we believe it? I love that old poem, and you don't hear it much anymore, Footprints in the Sand. Lord, where were you in the hard times? Well, I'll tell you where I was. I was carrying you through it by my righteous hand. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You don't know which way to turn? Ask Him. Give me about 3 more minutes, please. Thursday, I'm heading toward Alabama. From Dublin to Lake Eufaula, which is the state line. No electricity, no power, trees across the road everywhere. I can't tell you how many different detours I had to make. I came to one place on Highway 280. I was telling the class this morning. Highway 280. And all of a sudden, traffic came to an absolute stop. And I sat there maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and I look in my mirror, and I see people turning around and going back the other way. And I'm thinking, that takes me back home, but I want to go this way. But there must be some way that I can get around. So I got my phone out, sitting still. I was not driving. I got my phone out, opened up the maps, and I looked. If I go back about a mile, I can turn, go back over, turn another way, and then I could go and take me right on into Cordele. So I turned around, I went back, turned the road, turned left again, went about a mile and a half, and all of a sudden there was a tree across the road there. Got my little phone out, opened up maps, said there's a little road back here. If you go that way, it'll take you back to 280. So I went back, took the road to 280, dirt road, came out, I could look to the left, and there they were working, getting the trees off, but I was in the clear. They call that GPS, right? There's a better GPS than on your phone. It's called God's positioning system. You don't know which way to turn? God will show you. Do you trust Him? I'm asking from the very depth of my heart. Do I trust Him? Do I trust Him enough to say, I'm going to put myself completely, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge to Him, Lord, I don't understand this, and I don't know which way to go, but I need Your help. And do you know what the promise is when you say that? He says, I'll direct thy path. Do you believe it? Do you believe it this morning? Do you believe that God is wise enough to know where He's taking you? And even when there's a detour in the road, that He can guide you around it. Or sometimes give you patience. Because another time we came to a stop and I sat there for about 3 minutes and they cleared it up and I was able to go on. Whereas if I'd gone the other way, it probably would have added another 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes He says, just stand still. I've got this. Sometimes He says, come this way. And we'll go around it. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Can I say that honestly? Can you say it honestly? Can you really say that every day? Because I'm going to be the first to tell you, I fail. I know what I want to do. I want to live by the faith of Christ. Because I know that's the right way and the best way. I'm like that father that took his son that had the demons within him. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Do you ever find yourself that way? He says, I understand. I understand. Just stick with me. I'll see you through it. Aren't you thankful that we serve a living God who's able to direct us every step that we take? And I think I would be even more grateful if I followed Him every step He leads.